works, you see, make us self-centered, self-interested, and selfish. Failure to do good works leads us to despair. When Paul is trying to bring the Galatians back from works to faith, he's bringing them from a swamp to solid ground, from darkness, miasmic gloom, foul air, and grasping mud, to solid ground, stable ground, clean air, and clear light.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we continue our series in the book of Galatians. This message from Peter Adam takes us to chapter 3, which teaches us how Paul is leading us from foolishness, oh foolish Galatians, to faithfulness as we walk by faith. Stay tuned for that message, but first we'll be joined by Seth Lewis as we talk about his book, How to Dream Small, how lowering our expectations helps us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. The many voices coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Jesus said that the first will be last and the last will be first. And if you want to do something great, if you want to be considered great in the kingdom of God, then you must become the least of these. In other words, Jesus is flipping the whole concept of the gospel on its head and saying that his kingdom is upside down. If you want to do something great, it starts by doing something small. I'm sure that's what our guest today would tell us. He's written a book called Dream Small, The Secret Power of the Ordinary Christian Life. We're joined by the author, Seth Lewis. Seth, this is a remarkable statement, especially living in the world in which we're living today, that suggests at least that if we want to do great things for the kingdom of God, then we have to have the largest platform. We have to have the greatest success. What then is the value of dreaming small, of setting our sights lower on things that are much more tangible?
Well, I mean, it means we're actually living for what matters and what we're made to live for. We're living out of the love that God has given us, the value and significance that God has given us as his people, as his children, if we're trusting in Christ. And we're living towards the things that he says are really precious and valuable, the treasure that he tells us is really worth living for and actually lasts. And that is basically, you know, loving God and loving people. That's what Jesus said. And we don't love people in order to enhance our own status or make ourselves look big. We just love them like Jesus does. And it doesn't matter how they measure us. It doesn't matter what we get in return. We can actually just give freely as we have been freely given to.
But every fiber in our being is saying, you know, that's not enough. You got to do more. You got to be more. You've got to achieve more. And we feel, I think there's, within our Western, especially our digital age, there is this whole idea that we're not doing enough. We're not making enough of a difference in the world in which we're living.
Yeah, and I think it's so tempting. We want to kind of center the story on us. We want to put ourselves as kind of the main character and everybody else is kind of supporting cast, including God. And that's just completely wrong. I mean, we're not the main character of history. God is. And he has written us into his story for a reason. We have huge amount of significance, more than we could ever create for ourselves. We're part of something much bigger than any dream we could ever dream. And we need to take the spotlight off of our own selves and put it where it belongs. And yet when we do that, what we actually find is we have more security, more meaning, more purpose, more freedom, and actually more joy than we could ever have trying to grab the spotlight for ourselves and make this whole world just about my little life.
With social media, with a 24-hour news cycle, we're constantly being reminded what's happening out in the world. We're being told that the world is big. We're being shown things that are well beyond our reach. Do you think that that adds to this mentality that we have to be doing something more than the smaller circle that we've been entrusted with?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like you're saying, with it's the news, but it's also just the way social media is built around likes and follows and all the rest, that you're constantly encouraged to compare yourself to others and how big is your life going and how much interaction is it stimulating online and how many people want to follow you. So yeah, there's a huge pressure there. And it's all very, very much individualistic and self-focused. And it's hard to fight against that. And I think we've got to fight against that with the gospel. Yeah. When you think of Philippians 2, isn't that, you know, Christ, he actually had all the things we're after as far as, you know, the biggest. He has the authority. He has the fame. He has the riches. He has everything to the extreme we can't even imagine. And what did he do with all those things? He came and made himself humble and gave his life in service to God and in love for us as his people. And then God exalted him above every name. And this is the shape of the Christian life, that it doesn't really matter how high we are or how low we are on social ladders or success ladders or whatever. That's not the point at all. The point is to use whatever position we have to be living generously and giving to others what God has given to us. So if we're high on the social ladder or high on the success ladder, great, fine. Use that for the people and the things that God loves. And if you're low, don't worry, because those same priorities are right in front of you.
We have a description of this phenomenon that's come out of recent years with the digital age, of this fear of missing out. You know, we're shown everything that the world has to offer, and it's tempting. It's alluring, and it tells us, it really brings in a lot of depression, because a lot of people can't achieve what happens in the highest 1%.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, like, now maybe you're pretty decent at playing guitar and singing or whatever, but like, who's going to be able to compete with all those people on YouTube doing amazing things? Like, now you don't have to just compete with the people around you in your local area. You're competing with the whole world at whatever you do. And like, it's kind of hard. It's kind of depressing. Yeah. It's like, my skills don't measure up. But actually that's okay, because my skills don't need to be the best. I don't have to be the best guitar player or the best singer to bless my church with, you know, accompanying the worship of the church or whatever it is. You know, I can use whatever I have for the good of the people around me. It doesn't have to compete with the people on YouTube.
We've been talking with Seth Lewis. His book is called Dream Small, The Secret Power of the Ordinary Christian Life. And I got to say, nobody likes the idea of being ordinary. But if you want to make a difference in the kingdom of God, it says the last will be first and the first will be last, and the least in the kingdom of God will be the greatest in the kingdom. Then it starts with dreaming small, making our expectations what Christ has set for us, and aiming for the ones that God has already placed in our path so that we can make a deeper impact, and that one will spread and have dividends in its return. We need to spread the seed of the gospel, especially to those that God has already brought into our path, leading them in following Jesus and understanding the gospel message. A great resource by Seth Lewis. Again, it's called Dream Small. You can find out more information by giving us a call, 508-362-7070. Well, this weekend, we continue our series here in the book of Galatians. And in the same vein, we're talking about the same thing, essentially, as we look at Galatians chapter 3. This message from Peter Adam explains to us how when we look to the work of Christ, we talk about living by promise and living by faith, we have to understand that we have to set aside all of our preconceived ideas about how our works add anything to our righteousness. Here, Peter Adam explains that Christ and Christ alone leads us to our eternal hope. Here is Peter Adam with a closer look at Galatians chapter 3.
For here in Galatians, there are two ways to live as a believer. You can live by promise, or you can live by law. To live by promise is to live by faith. To live by law is to live by works. The law says do, do, do. The law also says don't, don't, don't. But in the promise, God says, I will. Let's think about the relationship between promise and grace. Now, in the letter to the Galatians, the symptoms which Paul is treating are division in the church. But please notice that Paul identifies not just the symptom, but the disease. And the disease is they have moved to another gospel. The disease causes the symptom, not the other way around. Works, you see, make us self-centered, self-interested, and selfish. Success in doing good works leads us to arrogance. Failure to do good works leads us to despair. When Paul is trying to bring the Galatians back from works to faith, he's bringing them from a swamp to solid ground, from darkness, miasmic gloom, foul air, and grasping mud, to solid ground, stable ground, clean air, and clear light. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, the first section. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law or by hearing with faith? How foolish you are to begin your Christian life with Paul's gospel and then move on. And I wish I had a dollar for every person who's told me that is their story. Well, I began there, they say, and then I moved on. And here's a list of things they've moved on to: pragmatism, emotionalism, liberalism, legalism, lunacy, agnosticism, civic religion. And in each case, they think they have moved from immaturity to maturity. No, says Paul, you've moved from Christ to folly, to foolishness. And Paul's great aim in this chapter is to help the Galatians move from foolishness, verse 1, to Christ, verse 29. So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that it's those who have faith who are sons or children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. So it is those who rely on faith who are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So Abraham is not just a good example of faith, he's the man whose faith is credited to him as righteousness. He trusted God, and all nations will be blessed through you, God said. So those who rely on faith, people of faith, are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. By way of contrast, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For as it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. Well, the problem is, you see, that in Galatia, people are believing the promise but adding the law. But in the mathematics of God, addition is subtraction. If we add what we do to what God does, then we diminish God and trust ourselves. Hearing with faith, people of faith, and the final section, inheritors according to promise. Verses 15 to 22, brothers and sisters, let us take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that's been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in His grace gave it to Abraham through promise. So if you'll excuse the expression, promise trumps law. The law is like a scaffolding used to construct a building. not needed when the building is completed. The law is like training wheels on a bicycle. They aren't needed when you know how to ride and trust the promise. Who are the inheritors? Those who live by faith in God's promises fulfilled in Christ. You're all one in Christ. For goodness sake, eat together. There are two keys to the primary application of this passage. The first one is that the letter is not addressed to individuals. Paul isn't here concerned about how individuals live. It's actually addressed to the church, or indeed a collection of churches in Galatia. And the second key is that how we treat other believers, the corporate culture of our churches, our shared values, our common practices, our shared attitudes and shared actions are Paul's focus. He's not saying, look, Fred in the third row, please change the way you live. He's saying to all the Galatians, please work together on this project. Please move together from foolishness to Christ. You see, there are some among us who live by the law ourselves and so make others live by the law. We condemn ourselves and we condemn others. We judge ourselves, we judge others. Too tough on ourselves and so too tough on others. You like that? Others among us, well, we love living by grace ourselves. Amazing grace, we sing and think of our own life before God, but we treat others not with amazing grace, but with amazing judgment. You like that? So, in fact, the question in Galatians is not so much how do you live yourself, but how do you treat others?
Listen, I don't like to receive something and have this imbalance in a relationship where somebody has given me more than I've given to them. I'm a giver. I want to be able to return to them so that there is at least this doing away with the imbalance that makes things uncomfortable. If you've given me something, then I want to do something in return to double the effort to show you how thankful and grateful I am for your kindness and your gratitude towards me. Well, the same thing applies to many of us when it comes to our salvation. We've been given grace. We've been given this beautiful bounty of God's love, and we want to take up the mantle and then do what we feel is essentially important to our relationship by giving back and doing good works and doing all of these things in order to kind of help bear the load or the burden of our salvation. But the mathematics of the gospel is that whenever you add anything to Jesus, it always becomes a negative. That's the whole impetus of Paul's letter here to the Galatians, that if we are working for our righteousness, then we are nullifying the righteousness of God. That is hard for us to wrap our minds around because we are so bent upon our works as a measure of whether we're good or not. It says, though, in Galatians 2:21, it says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If we can achieve our own righteousness by our own efforts, then we are nullifying the grace of God. We don't need God's grace, and Christ's work on the cross was a waste of time. That's why chapter 3 is so important, that we understand that when we live by faith, we do so by faith in the Son of God, not our own works, not our own righteousness. And here is the point of application. As soon as we start to measure other people against us and our righteousness, our standard, what we are essentially doing is taking our righteousness and superseding the righteousness of Christ. The only righteousness that we can use to measure anyone is Christ's righteousness. And the only way that we can have that righteousness is, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you cannot receive the kingdom of God. Therefore, our righteousness must be measured by Christ's righteousness. In that kind of concept, in that mathematics, we all fall short of the glory of God. But God loved us so much that he gave his Son to die in our place so that we could have nothing less than the righteousness of Christ, so that we might enter boldly into the throne room of God. This is the message of the gospel. It's why it's our commitment to communicate that every single day. because we want you to know that this gospel that is received by grace is lived by grace and lived by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. If we've been able to encourage you, could I ask you to be an encouragement to us in return? This is a market-based ministry. And the way that we measure whether or not we are blessing people is by gifts and giving. It's not the amount of the gift, but the number of people. Knowing that we are able to bless you proves to us that we are doing the work that God has called us to do, and we will continue to do it as long as we have an audience that is growing in grace. So if you have been blessed, consider returning that blessing to us through your gift, a donation of any amount. Just let us know you're listening and you're encouraged. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime and our late founder, Dr. John DeBrine, who has always encouraged you to grow in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Galatians 1:3-5. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.